Much of our faith can be described as the intersection of the natural and the supernatural. The intersection of the natural and the supernatural. We could describe our faith that way. We're headed down natural lane. Doing our thing, just cruising along. We're just, you know, natural lane. We're in the natural. We're living our lives in the bodies that God gave us. So we're doing natural things, right? We're seeing stuff with the eyes that God gave us. We're hearing things with the ears that God gave us. But we're just living our life naturally. Doing what comes natural. You know, we're enjoying life to its fullest. We're involved in relationships. We're involved with seeking out things that will hopefully bring us some joy in the natural, right? So that's living lives naturally. But then we come up to this intersection. And we see this sign coming up in front of us. We're going down natural lane. And we see this thing, and it's Supernatural Boulevard. And we're like, well, what is that all about? And so we're getting closer, and we see that there's some cross traffic going on. And some people, when they see Supernatural Boulevard, some people like step on the gas and like, I want to get through that as fast as possible. I do not have time to deal with things that I do not understand or cannot fully explain and that I'm not in control of. And so we just like hit the gas and we're through that craziness. I'm like, I'm natural. I do what comes natural. I live in the natural where I can see things, hear things. I can use this mind I have to reason. I don't have time for that supernatural stuff. But then there's others who, when they understand that there's this intersection that's happening, they actually slow down. And they stop there at that intersection. And they understand, they come to learn that there is the natural life, but then there is also supernatural things that are happening, things that we can't fully explain, can't fully comprehend without God's help, and things that we're definitely not fully in control of. And what people that stop there, as many in this room have done, is that they find that faith is right there at that intersection of our natural lives and God's supernatural intersection right there with our natural lives, where those two things come together. And here's what I believe is that when we choose to just blow through that supernatural boulevard and just we're on natural lane and that's what our whole lives are about, we can see things, we can hear things, we can try to reason as best we can, but we do life in our own strength. When we don't stop at Supernatural Boulevard and figure out how these two things intersect. It's all on us. It's all on you to figure out life, to figure out every relational nuance, every sickness, every point of brokenness, everything that is kind of goes wrong. Well, that becomes our responsibility to figure out and to fix. But it is when we stop and we realize that there is the natural, but there's also this supernatural. When we stop there and when we decide this is where we want to live, this is where I actually want to build my house, right at this intersection. I believe that it's those people that discover that it's not just all on me. That there is this thing called grace. There is this thing called grace, which has to do with everything that God brings to bear in my life that I do not have to carry on my own. That when I am weak, He is strong. That when I don't have understanding, He brings understanding. That I don't have to live life alone, but I can live with the presence of God daily. in my life at this intersection of natural lane and supernatural boulevard. I believe it's a beautiful place to live as people of faith. See, like an example, just to give a quick example, is that relationships are very natural, right? Relationships, we got lots of different relationships. And there's some people we really get along with, okay? Hopefully more on that side. And then there's other people that we naturally don't get along with very well at all. Some of them we're sitting right next to, so no elbows right now, okay? No elbows, elbow-free zone, okay? But some people, it is really, really hard for us to get. In fact, some people we call our enemies. You know, there's just so much tension. There's so much strife. There's so much brokenness there. It's like all we do is we just fight when we're wherever we're together. That's natural. And we live naturally, and so we're going along our life trying to figure out relationships with our spouse, with our kids, with our coworkers, with our neighbors, right? But then Jesus shows up supernaturally and says something, I wanted you to catch this, runs completely contrary to the way that we think life should be lived naturally. There's some people I like and there's some people I don't like. And Jesus has the audacity to come along and say, love your enemies. What? Love my enemies? See, that is so counter what is natural. But here's the cool thing, is that Jesus didn't just tell us to love our enemies. He said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. That when I return to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and the Holy Spirit will empower you to be someone who is filled with love, even for people who naturally you would not be able to even tolerate. Wow. See, that's God's grace. He doesn't just call us to live a different way. He empowers us to live differently in ways that look more like him and less like who I look like naturally. How many of you would rather look a little bit more like Jesus and a little bit like the person, a little less like the person you see in the mirror? Living at the intersection of the natural and supernatural. The Christmas story is a beautiful and annual example to us of the natural and supernatural meeting. They come crashing together in the most glorious and beautiful of ways. First, here's what's natural. A young family who has kind of been displaced by the government is found to be not only pregnant, but is due to deliver. And we find that story in the first verses of Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, 1 through 7 is a very natural story. Listen to this, because all it is natural. Nothing supernatural here. You ready? At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. So they're doing a census. You know, we're almost at 2020. We know the census is coming. And the United States does it every 10 years. I don't know how Augustus wanted to run things. Maybe he did it every so many years. You know, maybe that was part of what they did. But this was the year. And to participate in that census, you had to go to that hometown where your family was from. So what we find is that everyone is returning to their ancestral home for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiance, who was now obviously pregnant. Uh-oh. Can we just say right here? Very, very natural. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, this kind of food trough for animals, because there was no lodging available for them. And there is nothing more natural or human than the elements of this story. This young couple, she's pregnant, they're trying to figure out life, they're displaced by this government decree, they had to leave their home to travel right at this very precarious time. And now they're dealing even with the element of homelessness as they're like seeking shelter and get sheltered where the animals live. And here she has to have this baby, right, in this very precarious place. There's nothing more human or natural than that. Let me tell you another story. Something actually I only learned of and discovered this week. And it's about our third president of the United States, Thomas Jefferson. I've been to Thomas Jefferson's home, actually, and never learned about this until this week. But you may know he served as our third president. He was the principal author of the Declaration of Independence, very important as one of our founding fathers. And he was also somewhat of a religious man. And he was intrigued by some parts of the Bible, and other parts of the Bible he really would rather have done without. He was very, very natural. He was. He was. If you study him, if you read his quotes, if you see how he kind of oriented his life, he was Mr. Natural Lane. Everything that could be seen or heard or reasoned in his mind, he was a very brilliant, brilliant man. And to him, reason was very important. In fact, he really appreciated the parts of the Bible where Jesus was giving all of his moral teachings, where Jesus used parables and stories and kind of proclaimed things about things that he could understand and reason. Thomas Jefferson loved those things. But anything that was coming down Supernatural Boulevard, Thomas Jefferson didn't want to have anything to do with it. He wanted nothing to do with the possibility that Jesus was actually God, or that there was these like miracles that happened. And so, you know what Thomas Jefferson did? And this is what I learned this week. He actually came up with his own mini version of the Bible. Now, back then, there were no computers, so he couldn't just copy and paste, you know. He had to cut and paste, and that's what he did. He took a razor and cut out all of the miracles and cut out all of the stories that would indicate that Jesus was actually the God of the universe, and he pasted together just those things that made sense to him, those things that were Jesus' moral teachings. And he found great comfort in those, which, of course, he should. You know, that's right. But he cut out all of God's divinity, or Jesus' divinity, meaning that he was God, and all of the supernatural. And so he had what is commonly referred to as the Jefferson Bible, which is, I believe, still given to congressional people when they step into office. Very fascinating to me. So Jefferson's Bible, and you can read it online, actually starts with the Christmas story, and it starts with Luke chapter 2 with the verses we just read. But there's a whole lot of the story of Christmas that Jefferson cut out and left on the editing room floor, we could say. Sadly, Jefferson missed the point of Christmas by only focusing on the natural. He missed out on the powerful, the messy, the life-changing, and could we even say the miraculous work of the supernatural God colliding very beautifully with human history. He missed out on what is most special and most precious and most transformative to us by only focusing on that which was natural. So what did Jefferson leave out of the Christmas story? We left out a whole lot. He left out all the angels. He left out the angels showing up to Elizabeth and to Elizabeth's husband, talking about John the Baptist coming. He left out the whole story of the angel coming to Mary, angel coming to Joseph. He left out the whole part of the heavenly host of angels coming to the shepherds, declaring who this is. He left out all the proclamations that Jesus was actually coming as the Savior of all of mankind. He left out the Holy Spirit being involved in this pregnant woman Mary's life. So what I want to do is we're just going to go and we're going to look at just one of those stories that Jefferson left out, because I think it so beautifully describes where the natural is intersected by the supernatural. It's from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. Let me read this to you and just make some comments as we go along. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel, the angel, appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Well, first of all, if an angel comes and shows up, I don't even know if I could pay attention to what the angel meant. First of all, I just got to wrap my brain around, there's an angel in my room. That would probably be enough to confuse and disturb me. But it says that she was disturbed and confused about what the angel had said. I just got to tell you that when we're going along natural lane, and intersect with Supernatural Boulevard, you should experience what Mary experienced. There's going to be some disorientation going on there because we're not used to that. We don't have anything in our life experience that prepares us for crossing Supernatural Boulevard and being intersected by God. There's nothing in Mary's experience that prepared her for this. So what was she? She was disturbed. It interrupted her life. There was some confusion. She had to like figure out what is going on, what is being said. So it's okay when we experience that as well. When we're reading the Bible and we don't fully understand something that God is showing us, or when we hear something that is like outside of the natural that we're used to understanding and hearing. The angel goes on and Gabriel says this, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Don't be afraid. See, beyond being kind of disoriented, somewhat confused by the supernatural, I think we experience what Mary experiences, and that is fear. As Gabriel's looking at her, I mean, he's seeing fear in her eyeballs. See, because we become fearful of things that we don't understand and things that we cannot control. And can I tell you, when we are on natural lane, we are in control. See, Thomas Jefferson, you know, not Mr. Natural here, he could reason so powerfully. When you read what he wrote, I mean, there's some brilliance there in understanding how the natural world works. But you know what? It's somewhat fearful when we step outside of that and kind of dwell at that intersection of the natural and supernatural, because we are no longer fully in control. So there can be some fear there. I don't like the feeling of not being in control of my situation. I don't like feeling like I'm maybe not fully in control of you. So I'm going to like organize my life and your life so that I kind of understand our boundaries and how this relationship thing works, because I do not like feeling out of control. I don't like feeling out of control in my work situation or with my child or with my health or within. I want to be in control of my time, my energy, everything. Gabriel says, don't be afraid of any of that, Mary, because you have found favor. Favor. Favor with the Lord. The angel goes on and Gabriel says, you will conceive. She wasn't pregnant at this time. He says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. And Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And you know what? That's a great question. But what we see in Mary is she's not operating with disbelief. She's not operating in a way to like shut the angel down. She's actually asking for information. Hey, can you explain to me how this is going to work? Because I don't know if you know what I know about my sexual history, but there has been done. So this whole baby thing that you're talking about and conceiving and having a son, you're going to have to give me a little bit more details on that. Can I tell you that it is okay to ask questions when we are at that intersection of natural and supernatural? God is not bothered by our questions. And this angel was not bothered by her question either. It's actually a really healthy way for us to engage the supernatural, is to ask good questions. See, because I think this is something that Thomas Jefferson may not have fully grasped. Or maybe when he was young, maybe he had some very bad experiences, and I think he did. Because when you read some of what Thomas Jefferson wrote about priests and probably pastoral type people like myself, he was not very fond. He found people that were very manipulative and that were in it for the money and in it for the power and prestige. Rather than being people who served others, I think he viewed people who were in ministry leadership positions as being the bad guys. And you see that come out pretty strong in his writings. And so I don't know all that he experienced in that, but what we discover in his writings is that it seemed like he felt that his own rationale and reasoning was the only recourse that he had. To stay on that path of the natural and to avoid all the supernatural. But what I think the beauty of what he could have discovered is that, hey, Thomas, it is really okay for you to ask questions of God. To interrogate the Lord about what you're experiencing and about what his word actually teaches us and says. So, church, it is okay to be like Mary and to ask good questions. When we don't understand what's all going on, and God, what are you saying? What are you proclaiming? What are you declaring about my life? It's okay to ask questions. So the angel replied when she asked. And he said, Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will, or the baby to be born to you will be holy. And he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. You see, they didn't have Facebook back then. Mary didn't know about her relative Elizabeth, who was old, and really pregnant. And Gabriel declares this, for nothing is impossible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. And I believe that if you live there at the intersection of the natural and supernatural, that is the tattoo that you get to emblazon on your body. That is the bumper sticker you get for your car. That is the plaque that you can put up over your doorway, because it is the proclamation of where the natural and supernatural meet, that nothing is impossible with God. When we only live in the natural, when we only live with what we can see, with what we can hear, with what we can reason and understand in our own capacity, guess what? There are things that are impossible. Babies can't be born without normal sexual relation. That's impossible. That don't happen. Your financial situation that seems to be so broken and upside down, it is impossible. Your health and the diagnosis you've received, there is nothing that can be done about it. That is an impossibility for something to be fixed that doctors have said is broken. That relationship that is so devastated and destroyed, it's impossible for that to be mended and fixed. That addiction that you've been dealing with that breaks your heart every time you look in the mirror because you're looking back into the eyes of an addict and you know it. And it is impossible in the natural. My prayer is that this Christmas time, that you would understand that Christmas is a time for miracles. Christmas is a time for miracles. And I'm not talking about just the kind of Hallmark miracles, you know, that we watch those stories and the girl meets the guy and everything works out perfectly, you know, within those minutes. No, I'm talking about those things that in the natural are absolutely impossible, things that you've been carrying, things of brokenness, things of pain, that God wants to declare over you and your situation. This Christmas time, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary concludes with an amazing statement. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. See, Mary concludes with this statement that I believe forever changed history. Because she did not decide to step on the gas and just blow through the supernatural encounter like, "Yeah, no, thank you. No, this is natural. I am engaged." Can you imagine what is going to go on in my life when people find out that I'm pregnant and I'm only engaged? We have not yet consummated this relationship. What are people going to think? You know, what are people going to say? Today when that happens, you know, we celebrate life and we don't put shame on people or all kinds of situations. This was a different time. This is a different culture. People that got pregnant and they were not yet married, it was bad news for their life. Mary said, I don't fully understand this, and I am giving up control of my story. But I'm saying, God, I'm your servant. Be it done to me, just like you said. I am willing to stop at this intersection of the natural and the supernatural and experience something that only you can do in my life. And because she surrendered to the Lord like that, all of history has been changed. What happens when we surrender? What happens when we say yes? Right before the message, we sang a song. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up because we're going to conclude by receiving communion together. But we sang a song called You'll Come. And in this song, to me, there is a really good picture of us going along natural lane and wondering, is God going to show up? Is God going to show up? Because can I say this, that there are times when we're actually like parked at the intersection waiting. And we're like looking down Supernatural Boulevard going, there ain't no traffic. God, where are you? I thought you said this is the way it was going to work out. God, you said that nothing's impossible, but right now I am stopped here waiting and it feels really impossible. But we sang this song that I believe is so appropriate and filled with grace for this moment. We sang these words, I have decided, I have resolved to wait upon you, Lord. My rock, my redeemer, my shield and reward, I'll wait upon you, Lord. As surely as the sun will rise, you'll come to us. I love that. As surely as the sun will rise. God, I don't see it now. It's really dark. It's in the middle of the night, and it seems like the sun is never going to rise. But you know what God's reminding us of? When we wait, when we stop, when we build our lives at that intersection where nothing is impossible with God, I believe that as we wait, we will experience His grace, His favor, His power, as certain as the dawn appears. Chains will be broken. Lives will be restored. Eyes will be open and Christ will be revealed. Do not give up. Do not move on without Him. Do not step on the gas and try to shoot through life in your own strength, in your own power, even though sometimes it feels like that's what I have to do to maintain control. God says, if you will trust in me, I will show myself to be faithful.